Donald Trump and Mike Pence are in Pence's home state of Indiana to detail what they're offering Carrier to keep about 1,000 of the 2,100 jobs the company planned to move to Mexico in Indiana. The deal's a feather in the cap of the Trump-Pence team. It's a sigh of relief for those 1,000 workers. But it's also a concern for economists. Those jobs are just a fraction of the over 150,000 manufacturing jobs lost in Indiana since 2000. And there are other manufacturing jobs unfilled. Michael Hicks is director of the Center for Business and Economic Research at Ball State University. Michael, your reaction to the deal when you heard it?
Well, of course, I'm pleased for the workers, but I think as a long-term strategy, some of the things that underlie the decision of firms to relocate or to change operations are going to have to be addressed in a way that simply deal-making isn't going to cut it.
Well, for instance?
Well, I think the bigger problem that Carrier expressed in their announcement last spring was the cost of federal regulations. Surely a high corporate tax rate might incentivize a business to relocate to a place with lower tax rates. You know, but even with the trade issue overhanging all of this, the bigger issue is that somewhere between 8 and 9 jobs are lost to automation for every 1 job that's lost due to trade.
We hear this over and over again, that it's not about trade as much as it's about the changing face of manufacturing. And we were struck with reporting about the Carrier workers in particular. These are workers who make over $20 an hour with benefits, with just high school diplomas. But as manufacturing work moves into more and more automation and computer-driven machinery, you're going to need more training than that.
Oh, you know, to be sure, the Carrier factories, both in Indianapolis and Huntington, are, to speak honestly, are yesterday's manufacturing jobs. They're assembling a 50-year-old technology with a very expensive workforce. The real challenge for American manufacturing, which, by the way, is having nearly a record year on top of a record year in 2015, is how they maintain a workforce that is able to handle the new automation, you know, workers that can handle statistical process control, who can do very precise calculations, and then can troubleshoot a very advanced technology. That's the challenge, not the low wage pressure from Mexico on some of these types of operations.
So this would seem to be a critical issue. We're understanding that almost 50% of people in Indiana who work only have a high school diploma.
Right. And Indiana's educational attainment has long been of significant worry to the manufacturing trade groups. It's not just a problem of Indiana, of course.
Right.
It's that way through the Midwest and the industrialized South. But the challenge is not how do we keep these jobs, but how do we take the men and women who work there and prepare them for the jobs of the future. So an announcement like this, as pleasing as it surely is, doesn't represent a sustainable path to employment for the state.
Well, we understand even now, though, Indiana has an unemployment rate below the national average. So people right now are working.
Right now, we've had a really fabulous 4 years in the Indiana economy. The unemployment rate now is at full employment. It's hard to find workers anywhere. Just manufacturing jobs in the Indianapolis area, there are many thousand job openings right now on any of the online job posting boards. So the real challenges that Indiana face are being having an enormous amount of resources and focus dedicated to them. Mike Pence, to his credit, returned vocational education opportunities to Indiana high schools. And that's beginning to show some merit. The challenge is that the kids who aren't going off to college are those that are already facing the deepest academic difficulty. And mm-hmm. So that's not really what modern manufacturers are looking for.
Well, we're already hearing from other companies in Indiana. The Manitowoc, I hope I'm saying that correctly, food service factory, which is going to close. They've said, we'd love to hear from the Trump administration. Your thoughts on an administration, albeit with the governor of the state, inserting the federal government into one company's future?
Right. It's hard to overstate how little the deal-making that seems to dominate the media matter. So if the Trump administration does this every day for the next 4 years, that's equivalent to about 6 months of job gains. So it's not a sustainable economic strategy, but a sustainable economic strategy would be to use this opportunity and leverage this example into doing things with tax policy, with infrastructure development, and I think very importantly with federal regulatory climate that would help lots of jobs stay, not just 1,000 at a time.
That's Michael Hicks, director of the Center for Business and Economic Research at Ball State University. Professor Hicks, thank you so much.
Good to be with you.